Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying seven portraits of Christ, the I Am statements of John's Gospel. In this session, we'll be looking at John chapter 11 and verse 25. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Let's look at that verse by looking at the larger passage in verses 20 to 27. John chapter 11, beginning with verse 20. And then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. And then Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." What's the setting? Well, it's an atmosphere of death and despair at a home in Bethany. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. His body is decaying in the tomb. Family and friends are in sorrow. In the context of that scene, Jesus declared, "I am the resurrection and the life." First, Jesus is the giver of life. Verse 25, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Resurrection points to death. Death points to new life. New life points to God. Why? Because only God can produce and give life. He gives physical life. Acts chapter 17 and verse 25. "Nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things." This is the Apostle Paul on Mars Hill in Athens. Let's look at that, the larger passage of Paul's speech on Mars Hill. Going back to verse 22 of Acts chapter 17, down to verse 31. Acts 17, verse 22. "Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, 'Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood everything, every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own prophets have said. For we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like silver, gold, or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. All physical life is from God. Without Him, there is no life. He gives spiritual life. John chapter 10, the second part of verse 10. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. John uses the term life over and over. Eternal life is only received from God. And it's only received His way. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. We do not need to fear death anymore, because Jesus Christ has died and risen again. He has taken the sting from death. Second, Jesus is the restorer of life. Verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. The word resurrection comes from a Greek word that literally means to cause to stand up. The picture is, was alive, is dead, will stand up again. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. It all began with Adam. He violated the word of God, died spiritually, and forfeited the life of God. Now, all men are born into the same state, emotionally, physically, rationally alive, and yet spiritually dead. David affirms this in Psalm 51 and verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Education won't help you. Culture won't help you. Goodness won't help you. Refinement won't help you. Charm won't help you. You can do all these things and you will still be spiritually dead. Jesus restores spiritual life, but he also has complete power over physical life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Jesus Christ controls life completely, even his own. In John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, he declared, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. In John chapter 19, verse 30, at the end of the crucifixion, it's recorded, and bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. You and I can't control our life and death to give it up and take it back, but Jesus can. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Every believer who has died will live again in Christ, the first resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52 and then 54. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. In verse 54, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So every believer who has died will live again in Christ. That's the first resurrection. Every unbeliever will also live again to be judged for eternal punishment. That's the second resurrection. Jesus also will restore all cosmic life from the curse. Romans chapter 8 and verse 22. For we all know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. So the earth needs to be redeemed as well, because the earth was cursed for Adam. And so in that sense, the earth also groans, waiting for the redemption of man through Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and stood and came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Paradise. Utopia. It's only possible with Jesus Christ ruling the earth. And the whole creation must first be purified in preparation for that time. And then third, Jesus is the preserver of life. Verse 25 again. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Resurrection and the life. Here is grace at work. What Adam lost in the garden, Jesus regained on the cross. And he preserves. He preserves by his word. John 6, verse 63. "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." It is difficult to understand how anyone who calls himself a Christian does not have an insatiable appetite for God's word, because it is a command to believers. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." A baby cries for milk. Something is wrong if a spiritual child does not seek nourishment every day. He preserves by his work. John chapter 6, verse 53. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." And then down verse 56, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him." At the cross, life was made available for believers. Life through death. John chapter 14, verse 19. "A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also." Amen. You have a great day.